Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Adad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. Rhino down there in Studio X, making sure everything gets taken care of as we journey towards the end of another exciting hour talking about Mississippi State sports. And this is a great show we've got lined up. A little later, we're going to talk to Coach Brian O'Connor, new head coach for Mississippi State baseball. My interview with him from the Thunder and Lightning podcast. We haven't played it here on the radio, so let's go ahead and do that today. But we will start off with SEC Media Days. Yes, this time 1 week from now, I, along with Michael Borky and Richard Cross, will be in Atlanta, Georgia for the unofficial start, as they say, of college football season, talking season, call it whatever you will, as all 16 teams, their coaches, their players, and of course all of the media that covers the great sport of college football will be in town for the annual SEC Media Days. Mississippi State announcing yesterday, along with the rest of the conference, the three players who will represent the Bulldogs this year, and two of them were no big surprise. You know, we've talked about it. Blake Shapen, quarterback, made the trip a season ago. I think as long as Jeff Lebby is the coach at Mississippi State, his quarterback will be represented at SEC Media Days. He is a quarterback coach by trade. He is a man that believes that the the face of the program is the quarterback, and they should represent their school. There. So Shapen being there, zero surprise. Also zero surprise for me from Isaac Smith being there. Obviously the leader of that defense, the statistically the best player on the defense. Mississippi State's really only true all-SEC caliber candidate for that defense, at least as we sit here in July. You know, we'll let the season play out and see what that that brings us. But Isaac Smith being there, certainly not a surprise. We talked about it on Sports Talk. We talked about it on the Thunder and Lightning podcast. Who could be the third man? We'll make a little who's the third man? We a little NWO reference there for you. Who was that going to be? And you know, we threw out some names. One name I don't think we threw out is the guy who ended up being, and that's former Oklahoma wide receiver, transfer wide receiver Brennan Thompson. But when you think about it, it kind of makes some sense. Obviously, Thompson coming from Oklahoma. Great connection with Lebby, would have been recruited with it by him out of high school, would have had those connections, played for him, knows the Lebby system, knows the Lebby way. And I think he's an interesting guy in terms of, you know, Shapen, obviously a transfer, but he's been at State for a year, and he came into Mississippi State under different circumstances. You know, he came in knowing that he was going to be the starting quarterback and that Mississippi State was an opportunity for him. Brennan Thompson is a guy who could have gone elsewhere and chose to come to reunite with Jeff Lebby despite State's struggles from a season ago. I feel like State's wide receiver room is very interesting in terms of they have a lot of potential guys there, but there's not a proven commodity in that group, so I'll be interested to hear Thompson's thoughts on that, his thoughts on the transfer portal, his thoughts on his quarterback, and so on and so forth. And so I think Brennan Thompson is an intriguing guy to get a chance to talk to. I've never interviewed him. I have interviewed Shapen multiple times. I've interviewed Isaac Smith before. I've never spoken with Brennan Thompson, so this will be a first this upcoming week. I know there's a lot of curmudgeon sports writers. There's some people up there in Chicago, Illinois, maybe a little too big for their britches, if you know what I'm talking about. Talking about they're hating on media days. We're in the content business, guys. This is the business that we have chosen, as the Godfather said, and an opportunity to get to speak to coaches and players and to get to speak to the guys who can provide us with that content, I take full advantage of it. So I'm a fan of SEC Media Days, you know. If you feel like it's a burden, well, you don't have to come. Nobody forces anybody to show up. And but I'm a big fan of it, and I think there's some interesting stuff. What are the storylines for Mississippi State? You know, it starts with defense, and I think I mentioned this on the show last week that I did an interview with Greg McElroy and Cole Kublik, and they didn't ask me about State's defense. And so, you know, Mississippi State's day is this, by the way, just to point that out, Mississippi State's day at the podium is Wednesday. So 1 week from today will be the day that the Bulldogs with Jeff Lebby and those players will be in Atlanta. And on that day, I will usually do, you know, at least three or four interviews with different radio stations across the Southeast because, quite honestly, I'm the only Mississippi State guy there on Radio Row. So I kind of, you know, it's not that I'm great at my job or anything. I'm just the only one. But I'm fascinated to know how many of those guys ask me about defense because just from my experience, a little bit of limited experience this offseason, when people have had me on to talk about Mississippi State, it's been about the offense. And the defense are the much bigger questions for me. So there's so much storyline-wise about this defense to talk about. Obviously, are they going to be better? Ton of new faces on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, how are those guys meshing? How are those guys putting things together? How do they look, you know? What's the chemistry like? Something I'm interested to ask Isaac Smith, and I plan to ask him when we have him on the show, is the roles that Coach Mike McIntyre, I'll get it right eventually, and Coach Paul Rhodes are playing. Because depending on who you ask, you've got some people who say, look, these guys are just analysts and that's what their role is. And you've got some people who are trying to imply that these guys are having a much heavier role in the defense than you would think, that Coleman Hutzler will be relying on them more than you would expect a defensive coordinator to rely on his analysts. Now, these are two very experienced analysts that have coached for a long time, and Coleman Hutzler, you know, is only in his second year ever as a true defensive play caller. So it makes sense for them to have some input, but how much? So what is their role? That's something I'm interested to know. I talked about Brennan Thompson. I want to know about those receivers. So many new faces in that group with him, with Marcus Thomas, with Cam Thompson, with Anthony Evans, with Aiden Williams. You know, just a ton of new faces in that group. Who stands out? How do they connect with Blake Shapen? How do they feel about that offense? And, you know, with Lebby, the question I'd like to ask Lebby, and I'm in my brain, I'm not afraid to ask questions. I'm not afraid to ask tough questions. But I don't want to come across as a jerk, if that makes sense. So last year when we talked to Lebby, I think Richard was the one who asked him. He said, you know, what do you want Mississippi State fans, you know, what do you want to get from this season? And he said, I want Bulldog fans to know that they've got the right guy in charge. And that answer to me at the time made a lot of sense, right? You know, don't talk about wins or losses. Talk about, hey, this is obviously the guy to lead this program into the future. Made a lot of sense. When you go 2-10, you can't sit there with a straight face and say, yes, I 100% am locked in behind Jeff Lebby. I have no questions about him. He is clearly the guy. I like Lebby. I think he's a really smart and good coach. I think that he can be successful at Mississippi State. But I'm also smart enough to know that if he has another disaster season, there's going to be questions asked of him. And I'm putting that as nicely as I can, right? It's kind of the same way I did with Lamonis. There'll be questions asked of him. And when the answers are, well, we went 2-10 again, that's a tough pill to swallow. So how do I ask that question? It would be what I want to know. How do I say, look, you're smart enough to know, you don't need me to tell you that after what the season you had last year, that Mississippi State fans might still have not completely bought into you. So what do you want in year two? Is that what you want? You want to get that buy-in? Or in year two, does it have to be more result-oriented? Do you need to make a significant push forward in wins and losses? I would say those two things go hand in hand, obviously. But if you were to say, you know, hey, you know, if we can get to a bowl game this year, that's the goal. But if we're a 4-8, 5-7 team, and I don't think he would say this, by the way. Certainly no football coach is going to come out and just tell you, hey, if we go 4-8, you know, that's big improvement. Even though it would be, right? That would be a huge improvement. If they're 4-8 and they don't get blown out and the defense looks somewhat respectable and it's just, hey, we need another year to build and add talent through the portal and we're going to be much better next year. And, you know, that's a logical progression. And 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it would have been no concern, right? Lebby goes 2-10 his first year. You're like, all right, that's a tough year, but he'll get it turned around. We got to give him 2 or 3, 4 years. Nowadays, you don't get that anymore. Nowadays, it's you know, with the immediate gratification of the transfer portal, which I'm a fan of. I say it over and over again. I don't have a problem with the transfer portal, but it does make the schedule for rebuilds more compact. You know, whereas a coach would be hired and he'd get 4 years to get his freshmen to be juniors and seniors, now it's not so much. Now it's very much you have to be winning soon because you can get those players in year in and year out. So a lot of storylines to consider for Mississippi State as we go into SEC Media Days. I'm looking forward to talking to Lebby, looking forward to talking to those players, and just looking forward to SEC Media Days. You know, they call it the unofficial start. I say there is no unofficial start because there's no official end. College football is all year round, baby. Especially here on this show and especially here in the South. We love our college football and we are always, always, always going to be talking about it here on Super Talk. We are going to talk some baseball, though, when we come back. Coach Brian O'Connor will join me here. A great conversation I had with him last week. Want to get that here on the radio show for you guys, who, in case you've missed it on the podcast. We went in depth on a lot of topics. And including some big picture stuff. So we'll do that when we come back. Coach Brian O'Connor on Thunder and Lightning Live.
Hey, this is Bob. Just
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
We're back on Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad here with you. Thanks for joining me on a Wednesday evening. Let's go now to my conversation with Mississippi State head baseball coach Brian O'Connor. Finally got the chance to talk to him, and I think you're going to see what comes through in this interview is that intensity that I've talked about, and completely in a good way. Not a guy who makes you feel like you're bothering him to talk to you, a guy who makes you feel like he wants to get his point across to you, and he's going to do it very clearly, very succinctly, and a guy that I enjoyed this conversation with, looking forward to having more with him. This is Coach Brian O'Connor, Mississippi State Baseball. Pleased to welcome to the podcast for the first time the new head coach at Mississippi State, Brian O'Connor. And Coach, first off, thanks for taking some time out of the day to talk to me. You know, when you hire a new coach in football, you know, if he's an offensive coach, you're like, okay, you're going to see this style of football from this team now. Basketball is kind of the same way. You never hear that with baseball. You never hear about a coach's style. What is the Brian O'Connor style of baseball? What is a hallmark of a Brian O'Connor coached baseball team?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I think it's sometimes in basketball or football, you know, there's a lot of scheming and type things in those two sports. Like in basketball, they play, you know, they might play a real up and down game or more of a defense or the certain style of offense in football. You know, baseball is a little bit different. Certainly, I would call our style aggressive, especially from an offensive standpoint. You know, we're going to run the bases aggressively. We're going to try to take the extra base. We're going to put pressure on the other team. We're going to be, you know, we're not going to take many pitches. We're going to be aggressive in the batter's box. And then, you know, I think anybody to be successful at a high level in college baseball, you got to be able to pitch and defend, right? And so that shows up every day. So we'll be aggressive on the mound. So I'd say it, all in all, it's fundamental. Right. The fundamentals of the game that show up consistently to give yourself a chance to win. And then it's, you know, just very, very aggressive.
One thing I like to ask new coaches when I interview them for the first time is, if I could take you back in time to your first day on the job at Virginia and you could tell yourself something that you know now that you didn't know then, what would it be?
I'll tell you, you know, that poise is incredibly important, especially in big moments in the game and during the season. When I took over Virginia, I was 32 years old, had never been a head coach, right? And was so eager and was so intense all the time. And, you know, I think early in my time there, when it got to NCAA tournament time, the players didn't handle it real well. And I think that was partly because of my leadership. And as the years went on, I started to learn that, you know, you prepare a team the right way every day. You do the right things, and then you have to show poise and confidence in the most important times.
I don't know if you know this about yourself. I'm sure you do. But if you Google Brian O'Connor, you are not the first thing that comes up. On average, how many Fast and Furious references do you get in a year?
it's more like, when somebody looks at my license at an airport or something like that, that's when I hear it the most. I don't really hear it a lot of other times. I do have to tell you, when I used to have Twitter, I don't have social media anymore. I got rid of it a while ago. But back when I did, when Paul Walker actually passed away, my Twitter followers jumped up about 500. And I just think people couldn't draw the line between a movie, the actual character in a movie, and that person's actually a real person. So really, it only happens sometimes when people look at my license and they're like, huh, just because of all those Fast and Furious movies out there.
I think if we made some shirts that said, had your picture on it that says, I live my life one inning at a time, I think we could sell. We got some merch ideas here.
That's right. I like it.
So as a coach, recruiting is the lifeblood of the program. And you've probably sat in, we'll lowball it and say tens of thousands of recruiting pitches where you were trying to get people to come to play for you at Notre Dame and then at Virginia, and now here at Mississippi State. What was it like being on the other end of a recruiting pitch for a change?
Yeah, I mean, certainly exciting. These first 30 days here, we've had a lot of recruits come in town, not only transfer portal recruits, but also, 2025 recruits, 2026 recruits. And it's just been awesome being here in Starkville. And, the community that's rallies around this baseball program, obviously the facility and the fan base, it's been awesome to be on that side of it, talking about playing in the SEC and all the advantages of that in this environment here in Starkville. It's been pretty incredible. It's been really, really great responses out of a lot of recruits.
Have you had that catch your breath moment yet?
No, there really hasn't been time to. It's just been foot on the accelerator every day. I'm sure after we get this roster set, after we get through the draft and we understand what next year's team looks like, and you start to game plan for the fall, for the players to come back, I think then you'll be able to take kind of a breath and start to really think about, now it's about developing the players and putting this team and this plan together. It's just been really 30 days of pretty much all recruiting. People have asked me, hey, have you found a house or have you found a place to live? No, I'm gonna get to that in November or December. I need to focus on the task at hand, and there'll be a point in time that I can take a deep breath and step back and understand where I'm at and the magnitude of it and the excitement of it. But that's not right now. It's foot to the accelerator and keep going.
Who's somebody in the game of baseball that you admire?
Oh, geez. That's a great question. There's just a lot of people. I think a lot of great coaches over the years that as a young coach growing up, that I absolutely admired, right, and respected. My college coach, Jim Hendry, who's now the assistant general manager of the New York Yankees, made such a profound impact on my life. He's actually why I decided to get into coaching, because of the impact that he made on me as a college player. And really, that's, back then I was a 22-year-old first-time assistant coach. I was the restricted earnings assistant coach, which was the second assistant coach. And it was the impact that Jim made on my life, and I still stay very, very connected with him. I was able to be on the USA Baseball Collegiate National Team coaching staff in 2018, where he was one of the coaches on the staff as well. So I would say Jim is the guy that you know, really made the biggest impact on me and got me into coaching.
You talked about the transfer portal and all the recruiting you've been doing over the past month. Besides just getting the best players you possibly can, you know, what was the plan for roster construction in this portal window? What did you need to achieve to be successful next season?
Well, first and foremost, it was to retain the Mississippi State players that wanted and to return to Mississippi State. That was my number one priority, was figuring out last year's roster and, you know, which players wanted to move along to a new opportunity, and then which players, you know, needed to be back here at Mississippi State. So that was first and foremost. And then after the fallout from that, and you had to understand what your needs were, certainly there was a huge need behind the plate. We did not return any catching that had any innings, and shortstop, and certainly to shore up the pitching staff and to add a little bit of power and athleticism to the lineup. So we feel like where we're at in the transfer portal right now, we've accomplished most of that. We still have a couple of other pieces to add that we're working on, but we feel like we're getting really, really close to putting this team together. And then in 10 days, we'll be dealing with the Major League Draft and see how that hits us, and then adjusting and adapting from there.
When you I don't know if you're aware of this or not. It's been a big story in my world with Ace Reese this past couple of weeks, people making sure that he was going to remain here at Mississippi State. I'm not sure if you heard that story or not. I'm sure you spoke to him, though, in the last week or so. What were those conversations like?
Yeah, good question. I had heard about that. I was actually, you know, knee deep in all that, Brian, and just a lot of dialogue with Ace over the last 30 days about, just about his decision and the right thing for him to do, and him getting confident and comfortable with our coaching staff. I mean, Brian, anytime that there's change, it's difficult, right? And people have to make their own decisions for what they feel is right in their life. You know, Ace Reese is beloved here in Starkville, and he made the decision to return here for his draft eligible year because, first and foremost, he loves this fan base. He loves this community. And, you know, he just felt like, you know, ultimately staying in the same place was the right thing for him to do for his career.
All right, we will finish up the rest of that interview when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi. If you haven't already, subscribe to the Thunder and Lightning podcast so you can hear more interviews like this, plus a lot of other great content. 5 days a week, me and Robbie Falk hitting up Mississippi State sports. I say 5 days a week. It's only 4 days a week this week. But, you know, most of the time it's 5 days a week. And, of course, if you're an Ole Miss fan and you're listening, and I know that you are, there's the Rebel Report with Michael Borky. If you're a Southern Mississippi fan, we have the Eagle Hour. And, of course, the Sports Talk Mississippi podcast. You can catch the whole show ad-free within moments of the show going off the air every day. Check them out. Subscribe to our Super Talk podcast. They're all free of charge and very, very enjoyable to listen to. Let's get back to my conversation with Mississippi State's head baseball coach, Brian O'Connor. When you think about recruiting, I'm going to assume almost every high school coach and travel ball coach in the state of Virginia knows who you are and has spoken to you in over the course of your career. How quickly can you build those kind of relationships with the coaches here in Mississippi?
Well, you know, it takes time. Obviously, we're focused right now on, you know, what it takes to build next year's roster. But That'll happen in time. It doesn't happen immediately. It happens when we get a chance to have dialogue with them and get out and see high school baseball games. But, you know, that's very, very important, because that first and foremost can be the lifeblood of our program, you know, is the high school baseball in this state. Obviously, we'll have to venture out of the state, but you know, developing those relationships with the high school coaches. A number of our incoming recruits in the 2025 class are Mississippi players, you know, so you know, that will be, as we move along and get settled, that'll be a focus of ours for sure.
What is the time? You mentioned the MLB draft. It's coming up in 10 days, and that's when, you, like you said, you'll finally get some real idea of what your roster is going to look like going into fall practice. The time between the draft and the start of fall practice, what does that look like for you?
Well, it's you know, when the fallout from the draft happens, it's kind of picking up the pieces and deciding what else do you need to add post-draft to the roster. That'll be the priority. And then it will turn to getting prepared for the players to return and kind of setting up fall baseball, what that schedule looks like, what that calendar looks like. So, you know, it's right now it's recruiting. And then once you're done with that, it turns to recruiting the 2026 and 2027 recruits while you're getting prepared for the players to return to get ready for fall baseball and setting that up. So, you know, you never stop recruiting. That's nonstop year round, but it'll be focused on next year's team and the players and getting that set up for them to have a great experience for the fall and develop them to get ready for next spring.
One thing I've heard a number of times when I ask people about you and your staff is they're impressed with the organization that you have. You know, one quote I was told was they have backup plans for their backup plans on this staff. Is that something that, you know, you learned from another coach, or is that just something that was your nature before you even got into coaching?
Well, it's kind of how I'm wired, candidly, Brian. I'm an organizer. I try to have foresight in things. You know, I think anybody that's a leader, no matter what they do, you know, having a plan and having foresight, you know, and different options is incredibly important. And so otherwise you're reactionary. And when you're reactionary as a leader, or a team is always reactionary. If you're reactionary in a game, most times you get beat. To be successful in the game of baseball, a lot of times you got to be thinking a pitch or two ahead. And in the organization of this baseball program, we always have to be thinking a day, a week, a month, you know, ahead. On the field, you're always thinking a pitch or two ahead. You know, off the field, you've got to be thinking days, weeks, and months ahead.
One of the things I like about college baseball and college basketball is that there's so much less rigidity with scheduling. You know, think about football, you know who you're playing in 2037 sometimes, sitting here in 2025. Baseball, it's a year-to-year thing. When you're creating the schedule, how do you like to attack that? Are you a high RPI out-of-conference scheduler, or do you want to look at it and say, hey, the SEC is going to carry our RPI. We can, you know, possibly schedule a little differently in the out-of-conference. How do you attack it?
Well, you know, certainly the RPI is driven by the league, and being in the SEC, that's going to be a big driver of the RPI. But we have 4 weekends before we start SEC play. You know, we'll certainly, you know, put ourselves in a tournament one of those 4 weekends to challenge yourself in a big name tournament, you know, and then the other 3 weekends, it looks like that, at least the schedule that I inherited, you know, schedules are typically done a couple of years ahead of time. You know, they're at home, they're here in Starkville, and then you're limited a little bit about what you can do midweek. Obviously location and who we've played in the past is a big part of it. Obviously we have the one game in the middle of the week with Ole Miss. We'll play Southern Miss, you know, play the traditional teams that they have played here in Starkville. So, you know, a lot of that midweek games are, you don't have a lot of flexibility with it. It's more what you do on the first 4 weekends.
Let's wrap it up with this question. Will anybody have higher expectations of Mississippi State baseball than you do?
Absolutely not. You know, I think, you know, anybody that leads something, you know, in every case, their expectations are higher than anybody else. But listen, I understand, Brian, the expectations are very, very high here. I don't talk about expectations as the leader of the baseball program. I talk about standards, right? That's what the players will hear from me every day, because the standards, if they're taken care of and addressed every day, the expectations take care of themselves.
That's what we like to hear here in Starkville when it comes to this baseball program. But the expectation level, as you said, very, very high. And looking forward to seeing your career as it goes here at Mississippi State. Brian O'Connor, really appreciate your time today. Have a great fourth, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Great. Thanks, Brian.
Really appreciate getting Coach O'Connor's time. I thought that was an outstanding conversation. And like I said, from my first interview with him, when we talked to him after the big celebration of his hiring, and now this one, the common thread for me is that there are two kinds of intensity, right? You have some coaches that are intense, and they're trying to intimidate. They're trying to, you know, coaches who they don't want to work with the media. They don't care about the media. And look, if you don't want to work with the media, that's fine. That's your prerogative. But we can have respect, right? Some coaches don't give you that. Then you have a coach like this who the respect is obvious. You know, he's like, hey, you do your job, I do mine. But this is my message, and I want everybody to understand it, and I want everybody to hear it. That's a different kind of intensity, and that's the kind of intensity I feel like has been lacking for Mississippi State baseball for the past few years. That this is a guy who's done nothing but win since he became a head baseball coach. He took a program that had nothing in terms of history, and he built them into one of the top power programs in the country. And now he comes to Mississippi State. The resources are in place, and the results are obvious, right? It's the number one transfer portal class in the country coming to Mississippi State. They're in a position right now where even after Sunday's MLB draft, they should still have a roster that is in position to be a preseason top five team and could very well be the preseason number one team in the nation. When you talk about Bulldog baseball is back, it starts with the idea that you're going to hire a coach like Brian O'Connor. And, you know, Bear Bryant had that quote, what is it, like, I ain't never been nothing but a winner, and that's because I don't know any other way to be, or something like that. I may have butchered it. If you ever go to a football game in Alabama, the quote is actually, or something like that. If you're looking like, hey, did the radio just go? No, I was doing that voice. It's okay. But winners are winners, and Brian O'Connor is a winner. So is there a world where Brian O'Connor comes in and isn't successful? Yeah, it's sports, man. Anything can happen. But the smart money would be on Brian O'Connor not only returning Mississippi State to the heights it experienced from 2016 to 2021, shall we say, when they were a 5 Super Regional, SEC Championship, 3 College World Series team. I'd put money on him improving upon that. I think Mississippi State's second national championship is not far off with Brian O'Connor at the helm. And, you know, we could look back in 10, 15 years and Mississippi State has put together a run that, you know, you would say, well, they were a dynasty for that period of time. I really and truly do believe that that's going to be the case with Brian O'Connor running the show for Mississippi State baseball. Looking forward to my next conversation with him already, although I imagine it will be quite some time because we got to let the season happen. Also, want to point out, you know, we had Blake Shapen on the show. We had Josh Hubbard on the show. We're going to get Ace Reese on the show as well. He's obviously still playing with Team USA, but once he gets back into town, we're going to put him on Thunder and Lightning, and we'll have that conversation for you as well. All right. I'm very excited, as you can tell. I'm very excited about Mississippi State baseball. It's going in the right direction again. I don't have any doubt about that in my mind. We'll wrap it up when we come back. We got a special day tomorrow here at Super Talk. I'm going to tell you all about it and what you can do to help out a lot of great people. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Hi, this is Mark.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
One last go around here on Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad, Rhino, putting the finishing touches on what I hope has been another outstanding hour of radio programming here. At least that's, you know, I like to stay employed, so we'll see how that goes for us. Hey, today, or not today, I'm sorry, tomorrow, Thursday, is our 13th annual Super Talk Mississippi Radiothon for Palmer Home for Children. You know, guys know that on this show and on Sports Talk and on the podcast, I like to joke around, I like to have fun, but this is a serious matter. You're talking about a great, great organization that helps hundreds of Mississippians, has helped thousands of Mississippians through the years, and they need our support. They do not take a single dime from the government to help. They rely entirely on donations from people like me and you. And so, therefore, we are asking you to please, 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 if you can, in anything you can give, $5, $10. You know, when we're on the radiothon, we talk about these big gifts people are putting in, you know, putting in five, six-figure gifts. And look, certainly appreciate it. Certainly love to see that. But every dollar counts for the Palmer Home, and we appreciate you giving. And like I said, if you check out Super Talks Media, if you listen to the radiothon tomorrow, starting at 6 a.m. with Richard Cross, all the way through to Sports Talk Mississippi with Richard Cross and myself, Borky will not be making the trip to the Palmer Home, but that's fine. We got another remote tomorrow as well. On Friday as well. So a lot of traveling in the world of Sports Talk Mississippi with SEC Media Days coming up. Anything you can do to help, we absolutely appreciate it, and we are looking forward to talking to some of those kids and talking to some of the great people connected to the Palmer Home and putting their message of hope and happiness and health out to all of you, as we have done for the past 13 years here at Super Talk. It is the day that we try to give back to our great state and our great communities here by helping out the Palmer Home Radiothon. On a sadder note, there will be some photographs that come out tomorrow that I'll go and tell you right now. The photographs have not even been taken, but I am not going to be proud of them, because if you didn't know, if we haven't said it, I did lose this season's bet with Richard Cross. I've gotten him 2 years in a row in maroon and white, so he has been salivating, has been waiting. He tweaked the rules 3 years in a row to try to make it where he could lose. And if Chris Lemonis could have just held a ninth inning lead in the Governor's Cup, he'd be in maroon and white again tomorrow. But unfortunately, that is not the case. And so I am a man of my word. I'm a man of honor. I will wear the whatever he brings forward to me to wear, red and blue. Now I will say this. I may steal some of his thunder. He talked about he wanted to put me in a clown suit, and isn't that appropriate? The man has no pride in his own school. You know, I win this competition, and I'm like, I want him to represent Mississippi State, because Mississippi State is what the backbone of this, and I wanted him to. And he's talking about putting me in a clown suit. He's embarrassed. That's how I see it. So if you don't see me wearing Ole Miss clothes tomorrow, he made me wear a clown suit. You just know that he's embarrassed to be an Ole Miss fan. That's what that's about, Richard Cross. I hope you're listening. I'm calling you out. I can't wait to see what he's got planned for me. I'm sure it's going to be awful. But you make a bet, you lose. That's the way it goes. Oh, my goodness. I just saw the most frightening visage I've ever seen in my life. Robbie Falk just poked his head in here. So, also, I don't know if I pointed out, no Thunder and Lightning podcast. Oh, Big Daddy is here, too. We got celebrities in the house here at the Super Talk Studios in Starkville. No Thunder and Lightning podcast tomorrow, because I do have to get on the road early to get up to Palmer Home. I've also got some personal business to attend to. Some of you guys might know this. I talked about it, I think, on the air. But my mom, a few months ago, suffered a bad fall, and we've had her in a nursing home for the past few months, getting her strong, getting her back. Tomorrow is her release date. She's being paroled tomorrow, so we get her out of there. So I got that in the morning, then I got to drive up. So long day for me, but we just don't have time to sit down and do a podcast. And we'll be okay. We'll live without one Thunder and Lightning this week. The next time we do this show, we will be live in Atlanta, Georgia for SEC Media Days. I will have at least one interview with an MSU football player on this show. 1 week from today. Plus, well, I'll get an interview like we did last year. I think we had J.D. Piquel from the Hard Count on 3 Sports on with us last year. I thought that was a really good interview. So we'll get somebody on to talk. You know, that's the thing with Mississippi State, right? It's like the national guys, not really on the radar. So I'm going to have to make them work a little bit to talk about the Bulldogs. But rest assured, I will do that. Looking forward to bringing you guys some great coverage of SEC Media Days. And, of course, want to thank all of our sponsors up there. And I want to, first off, let me give a big shout-out to our media team here at Super Talk, because they went out and they got us some sponsors, some great sponsors: Pearl River Resort, Trustmark Bank, Cannon Ford Lincoln in Starkville, Cleveland, and Pascagoula, Covington County Hospital, Mississippi Farm Bureau, Genteel Apparel, all sponsors of our coverage of SEC Media Days, which begins on Monday. What a week. What a week it has been. Also, Friday, Michael Borky and I will be live in Corinth, Mississippi for the Slugburger Festival. I have, you know, as Southern as I am, I've never had a Slugburger. So I'm looking forward to that Friday, when Michael Borky and I bring Sports Talk Mississippi to you live from Corinth, Mississippi. Rhino, appreciate you. Guys, I appreciate you guys tuning in. This has been Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.